Can we please talk about UFC Long Island took place at the weekend? I'm also going to be recapping what's been going on in the news. You've got retired heavyweight fighters talking about making a run back at light heavyweight. You've got YouTube boxers calling out MMA royalty. I mean, he is MMA royalty. People don't like him, but I mean, McGregor's done more for the sport than a lot. I don't like using that term, but he's been pretty instrumental. Like, it's hard. You can't throw a rock in an MMA room without hitting something Conor McGregor related. Anyway, I'm going to be covering all of that and more. It is hot as hell, so I've got the air conditioning unit on. So if you can hear that, sorry, not sorry. It's staying on. It's staying on. But yeah, so stay with me for the Burt Locker episode 126. Right, so a quick Long Island recap. I'm going to have a quick sip of my beer because it was a pretty good event, to be fair. Now, Shane Burgos, I watched this at a barbecue. I did go to a barbecue and the fights were on at a normal time in the UK. So I had them on my phone because I can watch them through the app on my phone. So I'll be honest, a lot of people got upset about the Shane Burgos decision. I was only half watching because I was eating and drinking beer at the same time. And I don't know, I thought he got the better of the grappling and I thought that's why he won. But I may have to go back and rewatch that one because there's a lot of people really, really upset about that decision. But I, in the very vague kind of half attention that I was paying to that fight, the decision seemed fine. But it wasn't the knockout that I wanted, so my bet was going awry either way, as they often do. Amanda Lee Mulsh is great, man. She was fantastic. I should have covered off the submission with my bet because, like, I did hear her say that she was going to be looking to choke Watson out, but I never pay too much attention to what they say they're going to do. Lee Mulsh is a Muay Thai assassin. She is an absolute savage. So that's why I went with the knockout. But it turns out, look, she is a savage on the feet and she can squeeze your head off your neck like a goddamn bottle cap. That was a brilliant guillotine. Expertly applied, very quickly applied, and really brilliantly finished. That squeeze, man. Amanda Lee Mulsh, she is just an assassin in that weight class. She is a problem. I know that she lost to Andrade, but I think actually if they ran that one back, I think it would go very differently. But I'm just looking forward to seeing her work her way back up through the rankings, because I honestly think that she could be a real problem in that division. Really, she's dangerous. She's very dangerous. And then weirdly, I didn't understand why people were so shocked that Lauren Murphy beat Miesha Tate. I'm not disrespecting Miesha Tate at all. I just think that Lauren Murphy, I looked at their skill sets and I was just like, I just didn't think that it was it wouldn't have surprised me to see Tate win, but adversely, it didn't surprise me to see Murphy win. People were like super shocked by it. I was like, no. Skill set wise, they're pretty similar. You know, pretty similar on a pretty similar level. Tate probably had better wrestling. Murphy had better striking. It stayed on the feet for the majority, and Murphy was able to stop the takedowns. That's why she won. She did a very, very good job. So yeah, well done to her. A bit of a shame that we won't see Tate versus Shevchenko just yet, because I know that's a big name fight that they were wanting to do, because obviously Lauren Murphy got murked by Shevchenko, so it's a hard sell to put that one together again just right now. And then we had the main event, Yair Rodriguez against Brian Ortega. Hey, look, it went pretty much how you thought it would go. You know, Yair was going to look better on the feet, we all knew that, and then it went to the ground, and wow, okay, Yair was surprisingly good on the ground as well. Because look, at first, again, I was at a barbecue, so at first I was like, why is Yair celebrating that? It clearly looked like a freak injury, but it wasn't a freak injury. The injury occurred because of the submission that Yair Rodriguez was trying to apply. He was going for like the armbar slash triangle, like hooking his legs up, and he actually got it in pretty tight. When you watch the replays, it was in pretty tight, and then, you know, Ortega jerks his arm out, and that's what caused it to dislocate. So that's a legit win. That's a legit win. I think it should have really arguably gone down as a submission. But yeah, TKO. That is valid. That is a valid, legitimate win. Yair Rodriguez, congratulations to you, sir. I'm looking forward. Apparently, Volkanovski has come out and said that obviously he wants the winner because they announced Charles Oliveira is going to fight Islam Makhachev in October. And Volkanovski has said that he wants the winner of that one. Volkanovski is currently recovering from surgery on his thumb, I believe. And yeah, I would quite like to. He suggested that they do an interim title fight between Yair Rodriguez and Josh Emmett. That's not a bad shout, actually, because that's a really good fight. And then, you know, one of those two gets an interim title whilst we're waiting for Volkanovski to A, in repair his thumb, and B, possibly have that fight in the higher weight class at 155. So that's all the fight, all UFC Long Island out of the way. I just want to say thank you for watching. If you are watching, please could you hit the like button and also hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. If you could also leave me a comment. Any comment is fine. I had somebody comment and saying, oh yeah, but this guy looks homeless. I relish that. He's correct. Absolutely correct. I look homeless as fuck. It's what I'm going for. So look, just even if it's just comment and call me a dickhead, do it, please. It helps my algorithms no end. It'd be wonderful. Also, I have my Patreon if you want to go and check that out. Basically, there are extra fight breakdowns on there that are not on my YouTube channel, so feel free to go and check that out. It's £1 a month, and like I said, you get extra fight breakdowns, and it's well worth it. So looking at the news, you've got Daniel Cormier, who's, I think he's been kind of misquoted here, really, because a lot of the news sites are saying Daniel Cormier has teased a move back down to 205 pounds to come out of retirement and fight Jiří Procházka. That's not really what he said. When you look at the interview, he was saying, look, if I was to come back, then I wouldn't go for heavyweight because I have no claim to the title there. Whereas if he went back to light heavyweight, he's got a claim to the title. He never lost that belt. And, you know, he beat everybody at light heavyweight that wasn't named John Jones. So there's a claim to the title there. And look, Daniel Cormier, I'm a huge fan, big fan. You know, he's one of the best to ever do it. I'm a big fan of his commentary as well. I watch most of his YouTube stuff, all of his shows. Daniel Cormier is the man. Absolutely love the bloke. That being said, he ain't getting down to 205. All the towels in the world right now would not get Daniel Cormier down to 205 pounds. DC, absolutely love everything that you do, mate. Just, yeah, I mean, hey, look, I've been wrong before. Look, maybe we'll see him at 205 pounds in 6 months' time. I don't think so, though. He's a big dude. Big dude. So, yeah. I think that's more of a kind of headline-y news kind of thing anyway. So Jake Paul, he's been going back and forth with his new opponent. He's got a new opponent. I forget his name. I really do. Anyway, he's done this video where it looked like he's in a hospital bed. And it's funny. You should go to his Twitter and check it out if you haven't seen it already. You probably have. He's got millions of views on it. So you're probably one of the millions of people that has already seen it. But it's a wonderful little video. He's got his, like, sitting there. It's like, oh, broken my back. Carrying the promotion for all of my fights. Nobody else does a goddamn thing. It's like, to be fair, he does promote the shit out of all of his fights. And it's a good video to watch because, number one, it's really funny. Number two, you've got Julia Rose in a nurse's outfit, which is very nice. And yeah, it's just got all the hallmarks. Look, I've become a Jake Paul fan. I said this a while ago. I like what he's doing. At the end of the day, all he's doing is he's getting those, like, kind of, those matches under his belt that would normally not see the light of day, but he's making millions of dollars off it, and he's bringing, you know, he's doing his thing, that which is perfect. Now, there has been a lot of back and forth with him and Conor McGregor at the moment as well, which is which is interesting. It's very, very interesting because, like I said a while ago, like, you know, I'm talking a year plus ago, that eventually one day you will see Jake Paul fight Conor McGregor, probably in a boxing match. It will happen, and it's probably going to happen sooner than we think. Like, they keep going back and forth on Twitter, and eventually there's going to be so much money to be made from that fight that all persons involved, Dana White, the UFC included, will all want to get involved. They'll all take their slice. It'll be a massive event. It would do huge pay-per-view numbers, probably even bigger numbers than Floyd versus Conor, like, in all honesty. And you know what? at least that's a fight that Conor could probably win at this stage. No, I'm kidding. Look, then anyway, Conor McGregor, he is, like, people forget he is really fucking good. Like, he's just, he's lost to top tier competition. Now, is he at his peak? Probably not. No. Like, is he going to beat, like, most people in the top five of lightweight in the UFC at the moment? There's an argument to say no. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what he's about anymore. He's about these big exhibition marquee fights, ones that people will pay to see, because you can't forget that Conor McGregor, whilst, you know, he did, like, you know, he didn't defend the belts and whatever, but he did win those belts. He fought some legit guys and he beat some really legit guys. And he came up from, like, I think that, because a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, Conor McGregor, like, you know, probably lose to Jake Paul. I still disagree on that point, actually, especially in boxing. Because the thing is boxing, like, you know, striking is Conor McGregor's, like, bread and butter. He's been doing it for a long time. Like, it's, and also, you got to remember that Conor McGregor, he didn't come from a wealthy background. Do you know what I mean? He came up, like, fighting. Like, he was, you know, plumber's apprentice or whatever. Like, he was on the verge of, you know, he was signing on. Like, we've seen all of that in the past. But, you know, he's now one of the most wealthy men on the planet. So I'm not, you know, not going to cry too hard. But my point is, he came from a rough background where he was just, he was probably fighting all the time. Like, you know, out and about, you know, when he's going to bars and shit like that. I don't think Jake Paul came from that kind of upbringing. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jake Paul was on the Disney Channel. He came from a family with money, and he's then been like a YouTube sensation like his entire life. And now he's decided to start boxing. He's devoted himself. He's done the training. He's not bad. I'm not saying that he's bad, that he's really put the work in, but it's because he has the amount of money to afford him the luxury of being able to put the work in. Does that make sense? So, but McGregor came from a place where he had to fight tooth and nail. And I feel like McGregor's probably a better boxer than Jake Paul. I feel like Conor McGregor would take that fight. But that's all I'm going to say on that matter. More on that as it develops, because it will happen. It will happen. Troll of the week. I've only got one this week, but it really, really did make me laugh. Mostly because we're nearly in the realms of fantasy NFL again. Like, we're rocketing towards the start of the season, and I can't wait. But this one, Charles Oliveira trade offer. I receive the world championship. You receive a 10-8 first round. Because he always gets battered in that first round, doesn't he? And then he just comes back and he snatches those submissions out. Good old Charles. I don't know. Oh, it's going to be a tough one against Makhachev, though. Going to be a tough one. So, yeah, UFC London this weekend. I am going to be breaking the shit out of those fights, breaking them down. I'm going to try and do one with my buddy Dave on the CMA podcast, if he's available. You know, he's a busy man. We'll try and put something together, but I will definitely be doing my usual one on Friday. And yeah, so it's gonna be Friday. There'll be extra fights to broken down on the Patreon. But you've got Tom Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes, Paddy Pimblett against Jordan Leavitt, Meatball Molly McCann's in there as well. You've got it's a really good night of fight. Well, night of fights. It's on a normal time in the UK. I'm gonna be having a barbecue with my buddies. I'm gonna be watching the hell out of it. It's gonna be super fun. But until Friday, keep all those odds long and those bets terrible.